This episode of It's the End of the World as We Know It and I Feel Fine was made possible by contributions from slaves like you. Spanky very much.
As world economies go down the tank and unemployment continues to rise, which some might say maybe some of these politicians actually want, the disenfranchised people are set to explode. And now, I was handed this morning when I got into work. I've been trying to get a copy of this for a while. It is a brand new book. It is a dangerous book. It is called The Coming Insurrection.
It's the end of the world as we know it. I feel fine.
Good morning, slaves, and welcome to another edition of It's the End of the World as We Know It and I Feel Fine, the show where doomsayers come to relax. I am your host, Stimulator. And in news of the motherfucking END, a new report by some of the world's worst villains claims that climate change will cause civilizations to collapse.
Yes!
The 6,700-page State of the Future report was written by 2,700 experts, and it's backed by such shitfuckers like the World Bank, the US Army, and the Rockefellers. Seems that these planet-destroying creeps want to feel better about themselves by letting us know the consequences of their actions.
We are doomed.
The report also states,
too many greedy and deceitful decisions led to a world recession and demonstrated the international interdependence of economics and ethics.
I don't think we needed 2,700 motherfucking experts to tell us that. Meanwhile, the eco-protagonists at Greenpeace reacted to the grim news by dropping a banner calling on Obama to stop global warming. And what did the man your mama calls Obama do?
Yes. So crazy right now. Most incredibly.
Well, he signed an executive order to stop the construction of all new coal-fired power plants and pressed Congress to enact laws that will make it illegal to mine for coal in the U.S. Obama also ordered Canada to halt production of oil in
the motherfucking tar sands
or face military action.
Surrender pronto or we'll level Toronto.
Oye, Steam.
Wait, what was that?
El día de los pendejos ya pasó.
Oh, that the April Fool's edition was months ago? No, sorry about that.
This week, the G8 nations came to a historic consensus on concrete goals for reducing carbon emissions. We all agree that by 2050, developed nations will reduce their emissions by 80%.
That was the commander-in-chief at the G8 summit in Italy. Obama and the seven other gangsters of the industrialized world talked a big game about cutting carbon emissions, but offered no good plan on how to do this. Outside the fortress, thousands of protesters let it be known that they are not down with what the rulers have planned for us.
I come here from Scotland to show my solidarity with the Italian people and with the people of L'Aquila, and in joining them to say that capitalism doesn't have the answers anymore for the economic crisis and the climate crisis that we face today. We're at a shifting point in the world in terms of all kinds of global politics, and the leaders of the world need to address these in new ways because the old ways have failed us.
They want to bring down capitalism and the Western way of life.
In La France, the same workers that kidnapped their punk-ass bosses a few months ago at the Renault plant threatened to blow up the now-closed factory where they slaved for years if the motherfuckers up top do not give every worker 30,000 euros.
We have detonators, it's ready to explode. If we don't get what we want by July 31st, our threats will become a reality.
Oh, snack.
This started in France and started to spread.
In Berlin, over 5,000 troublemakers battled the pigs in an attempt to squat the now-closed Tempelhof airport. The squatters want the land to be used as public space rather than sold to developers who would build overpriced yuppie fattening pens. This action was seen by some as the culmination of hundreds of politically motivated car arsons, including trucks belonging to the douchebags from DHL, which supply logistics for the German army in Afghanistan.
Now, it's about to come here to America.
In Oregon, brave forest defenders caused major economic damage to the timber industry by blocking a logging road leading to Elliott State, a native forest that's home to many endangered species.
It is habitat to marbled murrelets, spotted owls, and the coastal salmon, coastal coho salmon, all of which are listed under the endangered species list. And the Oregon Department of Forestry treats this area like a piggy bank whenever they need money.
In Canada, an unpopular pipeline in northern British Columbia has been bombed 6 times since Rocktober, and has now been nicknamed the Canuck Flute.
Gee, Who's been worried about the Canadian border?
The pipeline is owned by Encana, a company criticized for drilling for gas in environmentally sensitive areas. The Royal Canadian Mounted Popo called the latest bombing an act of terrorism. But some locals feel that the alleged bomber has done a service to the community by calling attention to the dangers that natural gas pipelines have brought to their hometown. And last but not least, American mass murderer Robert McNamara escaped war crimes tribunals by kicking the proverbial bucket. This evil son of a bitch was complicit in the death of millions of Vietnamese people while Secretary of Defense during the Kennedy and Johnson administrations. Maybe we'll be lucky enough to see Henry Kissinger stand trial before he croaks. But for the time being, Bobby, I hope you burn in hell.
I don't know why I'm over here, this job is evil. They sent me here to Vietnam to kill innocent people. My mother wrote me, said the president, he doesn't care. He trying to leave the footprints of America here. They say we're trying to stop Chinese expansion, but I ain't seen no Chinese since we landed. Sent my whole entire unit thinking we could win against the Viet Cong guerrillas there in Gia Dinh. I didn't sign up to kill women or any children. For every enemy soldier, we killing 6 civilians. Yeah, and it ain't right to me. I ain't got enough of motherfucking fighting me. It frightens me, and I just wanna see my son and moms. But over here, they dropping 7 million tons of bombs. I spend my days dodging all these booby traps and mines, and at night praying to God that I get back alive. And I'm forced to sit back and wonder why I was a part of Operation Rolling Thunder. In a foxhole with 9 months left here. Jungle like the fucking harbinger of death here.
I don't wanna be here, I'm scared. I just wanna go home. You fucking kidding me? Don't be a pussy. Don't you love your country? I like being here. True story. I'm ready.
Not too long ago, when using the word terrorist was in vogue, that vomit-inducing sellout Alberto Gonzalez wanted to show his masters that he too could smoke them out of their holes.
Yesterday, a grand jury in the District of Oregon returned an indictment charging 11 members of a Portland-based cell of animal rights and environmental extremists for their roles in a pattern of domestic terrorism activities.
I'll charge 11 dedicated environmental activists with numerous counts of arson and sabotage. And as you heard, he went on to call the defendants terrorists in a sweep that the federales called Operation Backfire. Peeps in the movement called it the Green Scare, a reference to the Red Scare, a roundup and intimidation of political dissidents during the 40s and 50s. To find out more about this government persecution of environmentalists, I spoke with Lauren Regan of the Civil Liberties Defense Center and attorney for several Green Scare defendants. Hey Lauren, how the fuck are you?
I'm great.
So why the fuck do you call it the Green Scare?
That is a name that we have used to describe really the last 8 to 10 years of increased government repression against people involved in a variety of radical movements, primarily the environmental and animal rights movement, but it also includes people who adhere to an anarchist philosophy, as well as people who could be labeled as anti-capitalists. And we hearken that name back to the Red Scare, which during the 1930s to the 1950s, the government attempted to persecute people who held communist beliefs, political philosophy beliefs that the government was inherently threatened by. And it really didn't matter whether you were a communist or not. If the government labeled you as such, there were grave implications to you, including being subpoenaed to congressional hearings, being blacklisted and losing your livelihood, being ostracized from friends and family and your social community. And for many who refused to testify at those hearings, they were imprisoned and lost their liberty. And there really was not a legitimate crime purpose in these witch hunts that occurred back then. It really was a false fear that the government instilled in the people that culminated in grave curtailing of people's First Amendment rights. And the Green Scare is really the modern version of that. No longer is the word communist, of course. Instead, the government has replaced that with this term eco-terrorist. And it really doesn't matter whether that term is correct or not. If the government attempts to label you as such, grave implications result as well, including harsh imprisonment. There have been hundreds and hundreds of grand juries where innocent people were subpoenaed to these secret tribunals and had a choice. They could either give information to the government about their political movements, their associations, their friends and loved ones, or they could face going to jail. And many faced that choice, and, you know, with a variety of outcomes.
What were these so-called terrorists charged with, and how much time did they get?
Well, almost everybody that we would call a Green Scare defendant was charged with arson, setting fire to mere property. There was no human injury or human loss. This was just economic sabotage, simple property damage. And normally in the federal system, someone convicted of the crime of arson would get a 2-year prison sentence. My clients, who were charged with the exact same thing, faced as high as life plus 1,115 years in prison for the exact same crime. And none of our clients ultimately got 2 years in prison. As a matter of fact, Marie Mason, who was convicted of an arson at Michigan State University, was just sentenced to 21 years and 10 months for her role in a single arson in which her ex-husband snitched her out to the feds. So we saw an incredibly grave disparity between what normally occurs in the federal system and what occurred in these political cases. And clearly the government was attempting to send a message.
And why do you think the government is so threatened by a handful of activists?
Historically, sabotage as a tactic has always been very threatening because it's unpredictable, it is effective, and very often because the people involved are underground, they go unchecked. They are never caught. I think that combination of things is deeply effective when it comes to the government crackdown. I also think that we most often see the government in this country react in harsh ways when movements, particularly radical movements, are threatening those core beliefs. When people are attempting to change the status quo, or when they are taking shots at some of the quote-unquote fabric of American life, the reaction tends to be much harsher than otherwise. You know, we kind of joke, if you burn a building down for insurance fraud, you know, you get 2 years in jail. If you burn it down because it's an illegal horse slaughterhouse facility, you know, you get 10. And so I guess I would say that this is not the first time that the government has reacted in this way to these types of tactics. You know, you only have to go back to the labor movement and their use of economic sabotage to earn the 8-hour workday as an example. In those cases, the government actually murdered people. There were bombings, there were tons of arrests and lengthy imprisonment, all because people used arson and other forms of economic sabotage to gain political clout. And I think that in this instance, this is just another one of those examples. This is the modern incarnation of traditional government repression.
Thanks, Lauren. And that about does it for this edition of It's the End of the World as We Know It and I Feel Fine. I want to thank the following slaves for dropping some moolah into my empty pockets. Timothy, Gregory, Andrew, Patrick, Arnie, Max, Amy, and Barbara. Si como. For Green Scare links or to comment on this show, just visit my fucking website, stimulator.tv. And no love for the snitches.
Remember, kids, you can podcast high quality video of this show at submedia.tv.
This is a book of revolution. The book comes out in English in August. I think it's August 9th.